and welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading one half of a story. As always, the author's original writing has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is Finding Their Masters, Part 1, by Adam Fusco. Chapter 1, Discovery of the Brothers. A long time ago, there were two brothers. They looked exactly the same. Their names were Morlock and Mystic. One foggy night, an explosion met their ears. Morlock thought the sound was coming from the woods, but Mystic knew better. They wandered up to Icefish Mountain. It was cold, and because they didn't have a mom or dad, when they got home to Sweden, there'd be now one to comfort them. When they finally stopped, they saw a huge hole. And in the hole was a giant cupboard with a double lock that seemed to be polished. It was beautiful, with patterns of all kinds. They decided to set camp after they had set up their tipis and made their fire. They sat down to rest. It was only 8, but it looked and felt like 12.
"Hey, why don't you make a story of this night?" Morlock suggested.
"That sounds like a good idea, but we can't afford the equipment."
After a little discussion about what they'd just seen, they began to fall asleep. The next morning, they began to pack. All of a sudden, a ear-piercing, earth-shaking crack exploded. Mystic thought quick and dived into his tipi, but Morlock was lifted off his feet. When Mystic opened his eyes, he said,
"Morlock, are you all right?"
"Yes, but I can't believe what I'm seeing."
Mystic got off his butt, and he saw that the cupboard had opened. In the cupboard laid two sheaths. Both of them took one sword. One of them had red corners, and the rest was green, with a black blade. This sword went to Mystic. The other sword was exactly the opicite design, with the same black blade. This one went to Morlock. Chapter 2, A Big Surprise. They packed the swords, then they were off. On the way back, they noticed details they had not seen on the way there. When they got back, there was a big surprise. People in tuxedos were everywhere. Their name tags read, Adoption Agency. When we got in, they said,
"Good, you're already packed."
"What's going on here?" Morlock asked.
"Well, somebody told us you didn't have a family, so we're taking you to an adoption building,"
said the mysterious man.
"What if we don't want to?" asked Morlock.
"Well, if that is so, we will force you,"
the man said.
"Okay, come on, Mystic. We have to pack a few more things."
They went back upstairs. They packed wigs, canes, food, old man cloths, and water. When they went outside, there was a limo waiting for them. The lime was a stick shift. Inside, it had a huge bar. The town seemed silent, like no one was there. When they got to the place they would stay, they asked,
"Will we get our own cabin?"
"No, you have a room on the top floor," he answered.
When they got in the giant building that had been hovering over them and were led to their room, they started to unpack. But they decided to do it the next day. Then something happened that changed their lives forever. The building started to wobble. Chapter 3, The Falling Building. All of a sudden, dark magic came out of the sky and struck the building. The building shattered. The swords gave a nasty thud.
The swords lifted of the ground and were flying from the building at a deadly fast rate. Along a way, they thought they saw a huge towering winged person with very sharp teeth.
At least I saved the suitcase,
said Mystic after they had landed. Where are we? Morlock asked. They were surrounded by ponds, trees, and lakes.
We must be in some kind of forest,
suggested Mystic. But after they had traveled some ways, they figured out that they were just in a park in the middle of a large city. After they got out of the park and looked around, they were amazed. But after a while, when they saw two wanted signs with their faces on it, they wandered back to the park. All of a sudden, Morlock's sword shot out a light as bright as the sun that zoomed behind their backs. They spun around as fast as they could, and lying at their feet was a giant policeman with a huge brown mustache and a big revolver in his hand. Morlock clinbed up a tree like a scared koala bear, and Mystic took a underwater breather and jumped in the nearest pond. But Morlock missed something that, if he hadn't missed it, would have saved them some major suffering, because below the tree there was a sign that said, "Danger, insane apes." Well, anyway, a huge ape with brownish black hair pushed him off his branch. 2 seconds later, Morlock was on the ground. Mystic launched out of the water. Both of the swords glided to their masters. All of a sudden, two golden orbs came out of their swords and started bouncing off each police officer's head, and after a few minutes, they were all on the ground. Mystic, look, we can hide in that cave till morning, said Morlock. They started walking towards the cave. Every few seconds, they'd look behind their backs to see if the chaos was clear. When they finally got to the cave, they felt like they were just sitting in their house. 1 second later, they were asleep. That was part one of Finding Their Masters by Adam Fusco. And now time for the part of the show where we bring in a special guest to talk about the story that we just heard. This week we have Stephanie Bostick, another member of Lex Out Loud, a.k.a. LOL, Kentucky's Freshest Improv Team, and also a prolific snake capturer. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So tell us, what did you think about today's story, and where do you think snakes could have been added in to really heighten the tension?
Well, the story was pretty interesting, but I think the snakes could have rained from the sky instead of black magic, probably, maybe.
Yes, I remember the part about the black magic that seemed kind of non sequitur, but I think you're right, snakes raining from the sky would have made total sense.
Maybe snake swords instead of whatever the swords were made out of. I don't know what kind of metal, but
some kind of black blade, perhaps obsidian.
Was that specified in the story, or are you just making
up? That the blades were black? Yes, that was specified.
I knew. I was paying attention.
That's nice of you. If you were paying attention, you might have also realized that this week's story was by Adam Fusco, who actually provided us with another story. In fact, our first story that we read on this show.
Yeah, I'm an active listener of the podcast.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, the first story I thought was particularly great. You remember the title, of course.
I remember that. Yeah,
which was
take it away. You have.
Oh well, you're the special guest here.
I am special, so you should probably listen to what I say. So,
I think the listeners are here to listen to what we're saying, actually. So they would like to hear what you have to say. So tell us about the first story and how you think it relates to this story. What do you think was similar between the Great Wizard of the Past and the Silver Thief?
Not enough snakes in both of them, I think.
Really?
Yeah, not enough. They're never enough, you know? You can always have more.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's fair. Any other similarities?
You know, I like for other people to create their own thing. I don't want to
I like for other
opinions.
People to listen to my damn podcast, too. Which it doesn't seem like you've been doing.
No, but I've been collecting listeners, if you don't remember we talked about it, but that's okay.
You've been collecting listeners? I think you mean snakes. You're a prolific snake collector. That's an interesting Freudian slip you just had there.
Snakes are people, too.
But you're calling our listeners serpents.
Slippery snakes.
So you think our listeners are not only serpents, but also slimy and slippery?
The best things in life are slimy and slippery.
Okay, well, this is a family show, kind of. Not really, but I'm going to say it is to keep you from not continuing that statement.
Soap is slimy and slippery, and it keeps your hands clean. So I think that plenty of things can be family-friendly and
clean. Oh. Did you not think that joke was funny? It's because we were talking about soap.
No, I brought it up, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
Well, what did you think about the story that didn't have to do with snakes?
The one from tonight?
Yes, since you didn't listen to the others.
Yes, I thought it was good. It was great. I really appreciated the new hip slang, the new terminology. It was good.
You mean the words that seem to be mispronounced?
Yes. See, like Polish.
Yes. Well, the thing is that I say at the beginning of the story that the author's original writing has been maintained as much as possible, which I'm actually not sure I've ever explained that to the listeners. Dustin, I've never explained that to the listeners before, have I? What that phrase means. I guess the idea behind it is that when words are misspelled, as they often are in these stories, which is part of what makes them so bad that they're good. When those words are misspelled, I try to pronounce them the way that I felt that the author originally intended, which is mispronouncing them. So I also appreciated those. I think it made the story especially bad, which is good.
Which is great.
Right. The best, one might even say. But also the worst.
Also the part with the adoption specialists in the tuxedos.
The adoption agency, yeah.
Very fancy, very nice.
Yeah, it's interesting because maybe it's a wishful writing. I don't think many adoption agencies have enough money to dress all of their staff in tuxedos.
Maybe we should write to Congress about that, you know? Just get our specialists feeling good to make people feel good.
Does Congress have control of the attire that adoption specialists
wear?
You know,
that's not the point. The point is that we're making the effort here.
I mean, it doesn't really seem like you're making much of an effort. Like, I feel like you could try a little bit harder. Right now, I'm talking about the commentary right now. Like, most of our guests are pretty special. They're pretty special guests. Right now, you're kind of just like a... You might just be a guest.
Your stomach's growling a little bit there.
Yeah, my stomach was growling. Yeah. I'm thinking about other things.
Like food.
Food? No, I'm thinking about other predators that I might have to fight off. That's why your stomach growls. Because it sees another predator that you might have to growl at and scare away.
You're probably right. You're probably so correct.
I am correct. I know what I'm talking about, don't I, Dustin?
Sometimes.
In this instance, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, there we have it. I mean, that is the voice of reason.
Can't argue with Dustin.
Nope. Nope, you cannot. Anyway, why don't we go ahead and play a game? Does that sound interesting to you?
Sounds Stephanie? Great.
Yeah, great. So
great. Get it? Because it's like what snakes do. Like the sound that snakes make.
Oh, I thought you were just a snake collector, not a snake impersonator.
I like to dabble in a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything? Do you impersonate other animals too?
Every now and again, but my specialty is snakes.
All right. Well, I'd like to hear some of your other impersonations. In the story, a koala bear was mentioned. Can you do a koala bear impersonation?
cola bear.
I think it was meant to be koala bear, but it was pronounced cola.
Well, the only instances I've seen of koala bears, they are attacking people or just yelling. So
I was not aware that koala bears attacked people, nor did I know they could yell.
Actually, yes, koalas kill people.
Oh my god.
Yearly, yeah.
Yearly. Just there's an annual
just
killing
one day
by a koala
year,
bear.
It's the koala
massacre.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, what do they sound like on those days? Oh my god.
Probably. That's probably what they sound like.
Wow.
I haven't been to one personally. That's why I'm still here. But.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you had been lost in that terrible cola/koala bear massacre, then we wouldn't have heard that really impressive impersonation. You've really brought yourself up to special guest now. Way to go.
Yeah, I'm bringing my top game now.
Well, what about other things? Can you do mosquitoes?
That's probably the sound they
what
make.
What was the part?
That's the part when they suck your blood out of your body. That's the part there.
Why does it sound like they're spitting? Got a little laser.
Their spit. Yeah, exactly. It is just like
mosquito
a
laser
on your skin. That's how they get your body open so they can suck your blood
with a small little
out.
Laser.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm learning so much.
Can you disprove
me? I mean, I feel like if I found a mosquito anywhere, yes, I could by pointing out that there is no tiny laser on them. But
well, you know, agree to disagree, I guess.
All right. Are there any other animals you can impersonate? I'm not. You don't have to do animals. You can do whatever you want. Any other impersonations at all? Can you impersonate me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Wow, that's awful.
Oh, yes, that is awful.
Oh, I bet you couldn't tell who that was, if it was me or you. It was me. It was me.
So the way that this game is going to work is, Stephanie, you're going to get 5 minutes, and I'm going to ask you to write a prequel to the story that we just heard, Finding Their Masters by Adam Fusco, Part 1. I sometimes ask my special guests to write a sequel, and sometimes I write something with them. But because we've split this story in half due to its length, there actually is a sequel. There is a Part 2. So I'm going to ask you to write a prequel, something that happens before, but you're only going to get 5 minutes to do that.
All right. Sounds good. Get it? Did you get it?
I got it the first time.
Great.
So we're just going to go ahead and take the 5 minutes now for Stephanie to write her prequel.
Listen to your computer this Saturday night.
Having been unwillingly celibate for the last 10 years...
Saturday, regular crowd shuffles in. There's a young man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin. He says, DJ, play me a memory. The name's a little uncertain, but it's sad and it's sweet with a pulsating beat, and it helps my drugs to start working. Play us a song, you're the techno man. Play us a song tonight, 'cause we're all in the mood for a melody, and you've got us feeling alright.
We are back. Alright, well, Stephanie, those 5 minutes passed pretty quickly. Were you able to write something good?
Yeah, I like to write fast, so.
Oh, wow, it's your speed is what you really worry about when you're writing, not the quality?
The quality just comes from the speed.
Did you just pronounce it koality? Was that a koala pun based on the discussion we had earlier?
I won't confirm or deny, but I think you know the answer.
You won't confirm or deny?
All right,
that's a blatant pun about koalas having fur.
That was a bit of a stretch, but that's, yeah, it was
a bit of
it
a
was great.
Stretch. Like giraffes' necks do, which giraffes are similarly strange, like koalas.
We weren't even talking about giraffes.
They're also animals.
Giraffes. So
I think that was a mistake, though. I think we should have been talking about giraffes. Do you have something against giraffes?
No, not particularly.
but in general, you do.
Their necks are pretty long, but that's fine.
You sound really convinced.
So, I wrote this
story. Oh, right, you're right. Yeah. Your prequel. Yeah, go ahead and read it whenever you're ready.
All right. Once upon a time, there was a man and a woman. They liked each other enough, so they decided to do what old people do and get some dogs, and also accidentally had some kids, too. They named them Louise and Mr. Barkers, and they called their kids Morlock and Mystic. One day, when they were picking berries in the woods, the man and woman heard a weird noise, and suddenly a giant kangaroo appeared and put them in its giant pouch and took them away, also their dogs, and maybe also their berries, but who really knows? And they were never to be seen again.
What was that?
It was the prequel to the story. It was the prequel.
It was the prequel, and it was also very weak, whoa.
Like the jokes you make?
Oh!
For you listeners, that was Chloe King, who is in the studio tonight with her significant other, Dustin, the producer, stepping in to really provide some unsolicited, I'm picking up on that joke now, remarks about my jokes, and really just very unappreciated.
I appreciated it. Thanks, Chloe. Can I do a shout-out to Chloe real quick? Hey, Chloe. I love you, Chloe.
She's right there.
Stephanie, I hear you.
Get off the microphone.
I can hear you.
Dustin, can we get her off
love
the microphone?
Love you, Chloe.
I love you. No.
Okay. Well, now that we've gotten rid of that, I would just like to say that I thought your story was a little weird.
Which part was weird?
Well, you started off saying once upon a time. Fairly cliche. Yeah, I think we can agree.
Well, excuse me.
Fairly cliche. You are excused. And you also mentioned a lot of things came up in the story that seemed just
super good.
Well, that wasn't what I was going to say, nor is it what I'm going to say. No, it seemed just out of place. You mentioned berries that the kangaroo might have taken with it as well. Why were the berries there?
They were picking berries. Were you even listening when I
no,
was telling
I
my...
No, I missed that
okay.
part.
Okay.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Okay, not that bad then.
Super good.
B plus.
A plus.
A plus. Not A plus, B plus.
A plus.
If you keep saying A plus, it's going to go down to a B.
Like anaconda. Anaconda. Like A for anaconda. That's.
Why are you pronouncing it anaconda?
That's how you pronounce it.
Anaconda?
Anaconda.
My anaconda don't want none. It's not my and-aconda don't want none. They don't write the word anaconda with an ampersand and then anaconda.
Okay, anyway.
You can't say anyway. You have to respond to things.
I'm sorry. How do you want me to respond to your snarky comments?
I don't care how you respond. I just want you to respond.
Response given.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess maybe we should talk about where the ideas for that story came from.
Well, since I listened to the story you told first and then was told to write a prequel based on that, my ideas started from the original story.
Yeah. That's very creative.
And then also, I just really like dogs a lot, so I wanted to incorporate them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I do a pretty good dog impression.
Okay. Cool.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Woofy, woofy, woof, woof, woofy, woofy. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that was something
I guarantee,
else.
I guarantee if the next dog you see,
If you open your ears and listen to it, that's exactly what you'll hear.
Okay, I'll make sure to keep a note of that when I see the next dog I see. I'll just keep it in the back of my mind.
That's a good place for it, yeah.
Little brain.
Well, what about your dog impression?
It's more like a... Woof, 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 woof. Kind of like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's startling.
Like, that's good, I think.
I mean, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, you're obviously probably like a degree or two separated from the actual, actual dog sound.
I probably have a degree or two on dog sounds.
Oh,
so
wow.
You should probably step back.
What kind of
back.
Degrees?
I have
Masters.
I have a PhD in dog.
PhD in dog. And then what's the other one? Fahrenheit, maybe? Temperature jokes.
I got it.
They're hot right now. There's a heat advisory for temperature jokes. Well, let's also play another game.
That sounds great. That sounds like a good idea.
The other game being what all of our special guests do, which is they write some kind of textual interpretation about our lovely producer, Dustin Jones.
Right. Okay.
And you've brought something?
I have.
You prepared something?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead and get it.
Okay.
Why are you... Is that where you kept it?
Uh-huh.
All the way up in there?
Uh-huh, I scribbled it on one of my snakes.
And you keep your snakes in there?
In my pants leg. Is that not where you keep your snakes?
I don't have any...
Oh, okay, that's not going where I thought it was. Okay, good. All right.
I don't have any snakes.
Great.
I was saying well because I was thinking for a second... Because I guess my family owns a snake.
Oh, okay.
But I personally do
That's
not.
Good.
What were you... I don't want to know what you were thinking. You're the one who keeps a snake up your pant leg that you write on. Why are you questioning me?
I didn't ask a question.
You were about to.
Okay.
What snakes I have, metaphorical or literal, are none of your business.
Okay. Then why'd you ask me on here? I'm the snake.
Because you're part of the improv team.
Okay, yeah. You're right.
The snake collecting was just a peripheral element. I was just trying to give you some more character.
Oh.
It's also what you wrote down as your secondary trait on the special guest form. You also have some other interesting things here, which I'm sorry. I'm gonna go ahead and read this your behavior today. Right here. Under what was the last time that you ate broccoli? You just drew a small elephant and then a larger elephant next to it that says two size.
Isn't that cute? I love elephants. I just watched a documentary on them not too long ago.
Elephants are great. I agree. But you meant to scale. And then that would also be wrong.
I maybe have pocket-sized elephants. You don't know.
I don't know, but that seems like a possibility since you already put snakes up your pant leg. Except pocket-sized elephants aren't real. And then right here on the form, right, in this section where it says list your three favorite colors, you can read it. Go ahead.
Are you sure you don't want to shame me even more?
No, I want you to read it to the audience.
Oh.
They can't see it. I'm not just setting up a cliffhanger.
Peppercorn black, mac and cheese Crayola crown, orange, and toothpaste white.
Yeah.
What's wrong with those colors?
Well, because instead of writing crayon, you wrote crown. But you didn't even write crown. You just drew a crown.
Like a crown.
Yeah, like what you put on your head if you're a king or a queen or some kind of royalty. We don't appreciate such jokes. On the best worst story you've never read.
Okay.
But hopefully we'll appreciate what you've written about Dustin. So whenever you're ready.
No pressure. cards, beanies, nerd, and all that. That's what I think embodies Dustin, I think.
That was it?
See, because cards, because he likes different kinds of games, and then beanies, because I don't think he actually has hair. I think he just has hair tied, like, you know, sewn into beanie caps, and then he just puts them on. I think the beard is also sewn into that as well, so I don't think that his facial hair is real by choice. I think he just decides to shave all the other stuff to wear the beanies with the hair. I don't know if the eyebrows are real or not either. I think they might be tattooed on, but, nerd, because he likes that word a lot. I think, you know, he likes to say nerd. He calls people nerd. He thinks you're a huge nerd and all that, that is the rest of what encompasses Dustin, because, you know, he likes all that.
The popular show from Nickelodeon. During the 1990s?
Yeah, and...
Who isn't a fan of that? All that.
Terrible people, probably. Mm-hmm.
That is something we can agree upon, for sure.
Yeah, and then the...
Oh, right, the beginning.
That's his laugh when he thinks he's being funny, and he usually is. What a chum. I don't think you did it right, but yeah.
I was being chummy.
Like a chum bucket. That's the kind of chum you
like
are.
The unpopular restaurant in the show SpongeBob SquarePants, also like, on Nickelodeon.
Like stinky garbage in a bucket. Like
stinky garbage in a bucket, the popular motif in the show Garbage Men and Their Friends.
You're
on
like
Nickelodeon
gross
in the 1970s.
Stuff in a small, confined pail.
Gross stuff in a small confined pail. The creator of the popular show Big Mama the Numbers.
That's a really weird name, but sure.
It was
just
really,
like that.
It was a really unknown show that aired on Nickelodeon.
The producer's name is really long, so
the creator.
The producer's name's
no, they
long.
they had no production.
Oh.
They were not a producer in any way.
I
they
see.
Just created.
Okay.
Just thought it up. Someone else produced it.
Yeah. I also drew some faces.
Oh, some faces.
Yeah.
Would you like to describe them to our audience?
Well, the first one has two little circular beady eyes.
Mm, like most faces.
And a little tiny nose. And it's got like a shocked mouth, like, oh! Like, oh! Kind of, exactly like that. And
yeah,
the second
okay.
one is kind of tired because I'm usually tired and its eyes are closed and it's got a bigger nose.
Mm. So kind of like...
No, its mouth is completely shut.
Oh, it's like...
So, exactly. And then the next one is kind of winking, and it's got a huge nose.
Whoa.
And its mouth is actually in the shape of an O. And then the last one is dead. It's got X's for eyes.
Oh, poor face.
And like a medium-sized nose. So, yeah, like little... See, like... That's the sound of my fingers making the X for the eyes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. And you think that also describes Dustin?
I mean, you know, Dustin is a human being. He's got many moods, you know?
Right. Sometimes he's, oh, and sometimes he's dead.
From exhaustion, because he's so cool and does all that stuff that he does.
Mm, yeah.
He does all that.
He does do all that and watches it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Takes a lot of time to sew all that hair into his beanie, so I can
right.
only imagine.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, you know, Stephanie, I was a little hard on you earlier. I apologize
for
that.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I think you really came into your own by the end of this episode. I'm proud of you. I think you've done a lot.
That's what my parents don't say to me, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Wow.
I appreciate
wow.
it.
Stephanie's parents, if you're listening, maybe consider sending her like a, I don't know, a $5 bill or something.
My
sometimes.
Parents don't do technology, so that's probably not going to happen. But if you want to send me $5,
they don't need to use technology to send you $5. They can use the U.S. postal system.
But they won't hear the message. Is the point of that? But I mean,
oh, they don't use technology, so they won't listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, you could tell them about it. Tell your friends about our podcast. If you would like to hear your story read, send us a copy online at lexoutloud@gmail.com. Special thanks again to Adam Fusco for use of his story on this week's show. Special thanks to Stephanie Bostick for being our special guest on this week's show. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones, who also produces the show. This has been a production by Lex Out Loud, a.k.a. LOL, Kentucky's freshest improv team. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.